Chapter number 2, the book of Ruth this morning, chapter number 2, while you're standing, to honor the reading of God's Word. If I'm not mistaken, if I remember right, Jeff and Sherry Easter's dad, or Jeff Easter's daddy, wrote that song. He'd been in jail. He was saved. He'd been in jail. And on his way home from jail, God gave him that song on his road back home. And God has been good to us. Amen. Ruth chapter number 2 this morning. If you're glad you're saved, amen, say amen. Ruth chapter number 2. We'll look at just a few verses. We've been looking out of the book of Ruth. And God used Sister Kim, actually, to inspire my heart to look a little bit further and deeper into this book. And God challenged my heart to preach through it. And so I'm thankful for that. God does use people in your life if you let Him. Amen. None of us are an island unto ourselves. Thank God we've got people all around us that will help us. Amen. Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2. If you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ruth chapter number 2. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field. Now, that doesn't mean it was an accident. That little word hap is an old English word which means simply that which comes unexpectedly or suddenly. And there's no coincidences or accidents with God. No such thing as chance taking part in my life. God is watching over my life. It said, in her hap was the light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. There's a good employer-employee relationship. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, as she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense. When I sign a Bible, sometimes people have come to a preacher and say, would you please sign my Bible? I'll sign it. I'll sign my name, and then I'll put Ruth 2:12 out beside it, especially if I know that there's someone that is serving the Lord. And I love this verse of Scripture. It said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one, unto one of thine handmaidens. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we love you. And we sure do thank you, Lord, for the service thus far. I thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for calling me to preach. And thank you, Lord, that you've given me this opportunity to stand before these people. Lord, I don't want to do it lightly. I don't want to do it in vain. But, Lord, I want to preach with the unction, the utterance. I want to preach, Father, in the demonstration of the power and of the Spirit of Christ. So I'm asking you, dear God, for that favor to rest upon me now. But Lord, I pray not for myself only, but I pray, God, for every person under the sound of my voice, that God, that you would please help them open their hearts, Lord, for them. There's some sitting here, Lord, that's just so cold on you. And I pray, Father, that God, that you would visit them and please inflame their hearts with the passion of Christ one more time in their lives. And Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for being the God that you are. Lord, you're wonderful, you're kind, you're gracious, you're the best friend, Lord, I have in life. And I'm thankful for that, Father. Now, God, add your favor and your blessings to every heart that's here. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. We've been looking into the book of Ruth, and by the help of God, even tonight, I'm going to back up into chapter 1 and just pull one verse of Scripture out of a thought that God has given me, and I want to preach that even tonight. But we've been preaching through the book of Ruth, and you know, the book of Ruth is a story about a family. His name was Elimelech, and Elimelech, being the head of that family, took Naomi, his wife, and both of his boys into the land of Moab. They left where God was at, and they went into the forbidden city of Moab. Moab is no place for any child of God to be at. Moab is not a place that any child of God should even entertain in their thoughts. Moab was a wicked city. Moab was full of just adultery and fornication, sin abounding. But they were also a people that was just unconcerned about life. They were unconcerned about anybody else. All they could think about were themselves and fulfilling their own desires and their own pleasures. And Elimelech had left the town of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah was a place where Bethlehem means the house of bread. It was a place where God was providing. And Judah means praise. And they left that place where God was at and ventured into a place called Moab. And while they were there, it was of their mind that they weren't going to stay long. They were just going to sojourn. And that little word sojourn just means go for just a little while. But later on in the text, it said after a while that Elimelech died while he was in Moab. What a sad place for a child of God to die at. Being in Moab, being away from God, being at a distance from God. But yet they, while they were in Moab, Elimelech died. And the Bible says, and they continued there. You read a little bit further on in the text of chapter 1, and it says that they were there for 10 years. Oh, they just went to go there for a little while. But sin has got a way of keeping you a lot longer than you ever thought you'd ever stay. It has a way of keeping you a lot longer and costing you far more than you'd ever want to pay. Because in the pages of chapter 1, it tells us that not only did Elimelech die, but Mahlon and Chilion, both the sons of Naomi, is now dead. In Moab, there was 3 graves. In Moab, there was 3 funeral services of a grieving widow and 2 other widows that are now, that they had met, the Mahlon and Chilion had married while they were there. And now there's 3 widows, all because of one family going into that forbidden place called Moab. And now they've gotten down there, and while they were there after 10 years span of time, you know, spending that long in Moab, is a lot can happen to a person's life. While you're away from God, there's a lot of tragic things that can happen in a person's life that totally change your life. And I pointed out the first service that I ever preached from this. I pointed out to you that four people went down to Moab. But of those four, only one was ever able to make it back. Thank God for those that do get to come back. Thank God for those that can come back to where God is at. Hallelujah. He's the God of second and third and fourth chances. Thank God He will let you come back. But you better run. You better get out of Moab. You better come back to God. For Moab will kill your life if you stay too long there. Here, Naomi hears that there's bread in Bethlehem, Judah. Would you come back to chapter 1 for me, because there's something I want to say. Would you come back to chapter 1 and look at the end of verse 6? It said that she had heard while she was in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. America needs to learn that verse. America needs to understand that our food does not come from the farmers. Thank God for farmers. Our food does not come from Kroger. And y'all know my feelings about Kroger. But our food comes from God Almighty. I walk up and down the aisles of Kroger, and I look at every aisle is stocked from end to end with food. No matter what aisle you go down, whether it be the meat counter, there's meat all prepared and laid out. But it is God that gives us our food. It is God that blesses the nation of America, even though we've strayed from Him. I thank God. God is still blessing the land of America. She hears that there's bread back in Bethlehem, Judah. And she decides the very best thing for her is to get back where God's at. Oh, hallelujah. In Ruth chapter number 1, the word return is found 8 times in Ruth chapter 1 alone. That little word returns means to go back where God's at. To go back and get right with God. Hey, I'm telling you what, we need a revival in the churches of Jesus Christ, of people of God returning to God and getting right with God and getting back to where God. You see, you can be sitting here this morning in God's house and be far from God. You can be sitting here this morning and you could have sung the songs, but you're not singing. You could have been here this morning and heard the reading of God's Word, but you're not listening. You can be far from God sitting right here among the congregation of the people of God. Your heart could be cold and way out there in Moab, away from God, away from where God wants you to be. May I give an invitation to every child of God that's in this room to come back to God. We need a revival of God's people getting right and coming back to God. We need God's church to come back to God Almighty. And the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. You'll never have a new beginning in life till you come back to God. You'll never have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, you left Bethlehem, Judah. You left where you knew you needed to be. And you went into Moab thinking that you would find sustenance and supply down in Moab. But now you're empty just like Naomi. You're bankrupt just like Naomi. You're just without down in Moab. Moab has got a way of stripping everything that God had ever placed in your soul out of your life. Moab's got a way of taking everything good, everything right, everything worth living for out of your life and leaving you empty in your life. All that Moab has got to offer is a stripping in your life. But now chapter 2 begins, and the first person that it talks about is this mighty man of wealth that was living back in Bethlehem, Judah. Boaz, a type of Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to preach for a little while from the verses that we've read with this thought in mind. Reaping more than they ever sowed. Reaping more than they ever sowed. You see, we live in a world that has a law built into it. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7, it said, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a law built into this universe that no matter who you are, it does not matter what your last name is. It does not matter how much money you may have in a bank account. It does not matter how much status you may have in a community. The law says to every person, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you sow in life is what you're going to get out of life. Whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. None of us in this room could ever point our fingers at God and say, God did this. We reap what we've sown. But I'm glad the verse don't just talk about our bad reaping. It does say if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But then it says, if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm glad that I'm glad we can sow some good things. I'm glad we can come back to God and get our lives straightened out with our Savior. You remember Jesus, don't you? You remember the one you called on to save you from your sin. You remember the one you came to when you were bankrupt in sin and down and out for the count. But you came to the Savior and He saved you. He picked you up. He saved you, dusted your life off, washed it in the blood, and gave you life eternal. You do remember Him, don't you? You do remember where you came from, don't you? Why have you strayed so far from God? Ruth hears while she's in Moab that God had visited His people. Now she makes up her mind, I'm going back. Reaping more than they ever sowed. They get into Bethlehem, Judah. I want to talk about first about the providence of God. I ain't going off there. They heard down in Moab that God had showed up. That God was a blessing. That God was really doing what God does best. And they decided that they're going to get back to where God's at. And when they enter into Bethlehem, Judah, I can imagine them looking around. They had come from a barren land. They had come from a land that was God forsaken. There was nothing worth having down in Moab. But now as they enter into that little place called Bethlehem, Judah, they get to noticing on each side of that little road that they're traveling to get back, that there's an unusual sight to their eyes after 10 years. Of barrenness. Now they begin to notice that there's crops growing on each side of the road. And there's people out there working those crops. And the Bible says that during a time of reaping in Bethlehem, that it was a time of great joy. And those people out there, they're enjoying just being out in the fields that God has supplied. And there they are. They're seeing something that they haven't seen now for 10 years. They're seeing people happy about life. They're seeing people enjoying living. And they looking at all of that. They're looking at all those fields. Looking at all those crops. And they're looking around at living proof that what they had heard about was really real. They saw some living proof what they had heard about, that it really is real. I remember when I was lost. I remember when I was lost and I was miserable. Sin had its clutches on my life. Sin had its bands wrapped all around my life. And I was nothing but just a lost sinner on my way to hell. I was miserable. Oh, I thought Jack Daniels was giving me a good time. But can I say something to all my young people in this room? Jack Daniels won't do nothing for you except strip your life. Dope won't never do anything for you except strip your life and shame your life. I wish I could get more of God's people to agree with me there. Amen. Sin has nothing to offer you. Boy, that sin had its clutches all around my life. And I was miserable. I was empty. There was something missing on the inside. And I'd been hearing through some little gospel tracts that there was a better life. Oh, I got to hearing that there was something worth living for. I got to hearing that there was a Savior that died for me. I got to hearing that I could actually enjoy living without the dope and without the alcohol. I decided that I'd go to church one day on a Sunday morning back in November 1982. I got up one Sunday morning. We weren't church-going people. Oh, no, we weren't in the church hearing all about this. I just heard about it way out yonder. And I got up that morning and I told my wife, I said, get up and get ready. She said, for what? I said, we're going to church. She said, do what? I said, get up, get ready. We're going to church. And we went that morning. And when I walked in that little church house, Morton Avenue Baptist Church, I saw some living proof of what I heard about down there in the world was really real. I mean, those people had a smile. That's why you ought to put a smile on when you go to the house of God. That's why you ought to act happy when you go to the house of God. There's people walking in there that need to see some living proof that what they heard about is really real. Hey, it's really real. God is good. God is wonderful. God will save. God will satisfy your life. Yeah, man. When they got in back to Bethlehem, Judah, they found them some living proof. Hey. You know what? I've heard about a lot of different places. I heard about, boy, if you just get to Pigeon Forge. Boy, if you'll just go to Pigeon Forge, you'll have the time of your life. And we have. We've been there on our anniversary before. Haven't we, honey? Woo! Love you, baby. Amen. Y'all tell I'm happy to be home. Y'all tell I'm happy to be married. Woo! Hallelujah. They say if you just get to Pigeon Forge, man, there's so much to do up there. So many stores and so many places to go eat. And we did. Oh, we went to the stores and we went out to eat. I came back, my belly all bulged out. My pocketbook broke. Amen. Oh, what I heard about was really real up there in Pigeon Forge. But it was just, it didn't satisfy. I mean, I have to keep going back. I have to keep going back if I really want to go back and find out what Pigeon Forge is all about. But the day, oh, hallelujah, the day that I came to Jesus, I found out that He was everything that I'd ever heard about and so much more. Thank God this morning, He'll save to the uttermost. Thank God this morning, He'll satisfy any life. If you'll just come to Jesus, He'll do for you what nothing else will do for your life. They got back and they found living proof. But not only did they find in those crops living proof, they found provision. Oh, they've been so hungry. Down there, Debbie said that she kept a little, whose little kid was that? Jessica's little, that little girl that you keep, that your mama keeps. Yeah, who? Madison. Debbie was holding her one night. Said she was sitting there and she looked at her. She said, I'm hungry. I like that word. H-A-U-N-G-R-Y. I'm hungry. can y'all look at me and tell me I ain't been hungry? Oh, can I tell you that God says He supplies my every need? There's not anything in life that I'm lacking. Amen. I mean, I came to Jesus and He has met every need of mine and He'll meet every need of yours if you'll just come to Jesus. Amen. They found living proof. They found provision. But not only that, but they found pleasure. Sowing in Moab, like I said, was a time of great joy. And they got around where there was people actually enjoying working. Oh, Lord, it died. I killed the meat right there, didn't I? I mean, those people out in the field, and they were actually enjoying working. Oh, I have felt a big time stump right here. God, I'm going to have to root around for quite a while on this one. We're living in one of the laziest generations. I wish I could get a witness. We're living in a lazy generation. You look at that man sitting right over there, Ray Connor, ain't known anything but hard work all his life. William Souther, hard work. Brother William made a little something for me. Debbie, you hadn't even gotten to see it yet. You wait, you get in my office. Work with his hands and put a little something together. We got a bunch of generation now. They sit around with their hands out wanting you to put something in it while they lay on TV and play Nintendo. Amen. Bunch of lazy bums. Amen. If you ain't going to work, you ain't going to eat either, buddy. Amen. Don't wait on the government to come handing some. Obama might give you a little $10 bill, but you ain't going to be able to make it off of $10. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I'm not looking to the Lord. I'm not looking to Obama. I'm looking to Jesus. Amen. He has supplied everything in my life and always will. Amen. Bunch of lazy bums. I don't know how I got off on all that. That ain't even in my notes. Well, I'm glad God had me to say it. Amen. Amen. That's the God's truth. Am I telling the truth? Bunch of lazy. Come on, brother. You come on up here and help me preach. Amen. Praise God. Bunch of lazy things. Jamal, I don't know nothing about you. Don't you lay around and expect somebody else to hand something out to you. Don't just lay around playing Nintendo. He been promising me a Hummer. You ain't got it. You ain't got it. Been promising me a Hummer. I ain't never going to see a Hummer out of that boy. Amen. You young kids learn how to work with your hands. Best thing my daddy ever taught me was how to work with my hands. Can I get a witness right there? Ain't nothing wrong with working. Amen. It's part of life. It's part of growing up and paying bills. Amen. Sit at the house and want the government to hand things out to you. God help you. Amen. If you want to just be a government bum, you ain't got any aspirations in life. There's more to life than just laying around waiting on Uncle Sam to supply your need. There's something to do for you out there. You can feel like a human being and be proud of what you've done out there. Amen. Amen. They got back in there and they found all that stuff. But then here's what they, I don't know if they even realized or not, they found the providence of God. Mm. They got back in Bethlehem, Judah, and all of a sudden there was God. God began working again. We got this couple back here on the back. The other Sunday morning, y'all was sitting up here. I wish y'all would get back up here. Been here one Sunday, none backslid. Y'all need to get back up here. Don't act like Jeff. Come on up there. Amen. I was down here at the church one day, and I heard the front door open. It was the coldest day that we've had this year. Here they come, and well, they had them hoods and everything. All I could see was eyes sticking out of all that cover that they had on. When they came to church, I didn't even recognize them. Terry said, "Is that the one you invited?" I said, "My God, it is." I didn't even recognize them without all that hoodie on them and all that stuff. I mean, I'm serious. All you could see was that much of their face. And they needed to be like that. They came in, and we got to talking. And I told them, I said, "You need to get back where God's at." You know what he told me? God gave him a job Wednesday night. You get back where God's at. You get back where God's at, God will start blessing your life. That's why you're so miserable. The most miserable person on planet Earth is a child of God that's outside of the blessings of God, that's living in Moab, that's trying to have the world, trying to have other things. You're miserable. Come home to God. Come home to God. Amen. I'm talking about the providence of God start working in your life again. I guarantee you, they hang in there. There ain't no telling what God will do for them. Amen. Just hang in there with God. Amen. Don't miss a service. They were at Sunday school. Come on, Brother Sam. Me and you, brother. Amen. At Sunday school. Christians go to Sunday school. Well, when they got in Bethlehem, Judah, they found the providence of God. But secondly, I'm talking about reaping more than they sowed. They never put one bit of grain in those fields. They never hired one furrow to lay a seed down in that field. But here they were back where God was. And now they're reaping better than they sowed. I'm glad that law is in the world. People say, how you doing? I'm doing a lot better than I deserve. Can I be honest with you? I deserve to be in hell with my back broke. I deserve to be in the lowest pits of hell for all that I've done. But God spared me, then saved me. And now He's supplying every need of my life. I'm reaping a lot better than I sowed. I was looking this morning, I was trying to find something on there. There's a song out of Psalm 23 where he says, my cup runneth over. Michael Combs wrote a song, said, I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup is overflowed. God has been good to me. God is supplying. They found the providence of God, started finding the provisions of God. All of a sudden, Boaz shows up in their life. Can I give you just a thought or two? And he was kingly in his greatness. It said that he was a mighty man of wealth. He was no slouch. He had money. He had wealth. He was, matter of fact, the Bible said he was a mighty man of wealth. It means that he was just exceedingly wealthy. And now here's Naomi and Ruth right in the fields of Boaz. Can I tell you, you ever seen anybody get real blessed, real good by God? I mean, God just poured on the life. You ever sit over there to one side and think, why ain't God blessed me like that? No, I see all those halos on. I know ain't nobody ever done like that. I sure wish God had blessed me like that. God must not like me. God must not love me the way that He loves them. Can I tell you that God's got blessings to be poured out on every one of His children? He does not leave one of us out. He's kingly in His greatness. Can I tell you this about Moab? He's kind in His greeting. You know what He called her? First time He ever spoke to her, you know what He called her? Daughter. I remember the first time I ever heard God call me son. I came from a rough background. I've given my testimony here at church, and I mean, I was a very experienced sinner. I heard Brother Mike Landrum down at his camp meeting. He said that he's drank that much beer in his life. He said, that's all I've ever had. He said, and I told him when I drank it, he said, you need to pour that back in the horse it came out of. Some of y'all catch on to that after a while. He said, you need to get rid of that. That stuff's terrible. I wish I had that kind of testimony. I wish I had a testimony that was pure. And I could get up and tell you what all God's kept me from. But I do have a testimony of what God brought me out of. Woo! They're both good. I like to hear both of them. Don't you ever get to thinking because you ain't got a testimony like Brother John that your testimony ain't worth hearing. Your testimony's a lot better than mine. I've got the rock gut testimony. Those of y'all that's been pure all your life, whoop, you got the best. Amen. Amen. Don't you ever be ashamed of that testimony. Glory to God. Thank God for some people that's lived for Jesus all their lives. Amen. Well, where was I at? He was kind in his greeting. Well, I came from a very bad background. And I remember the Saturday after the Sunday I got saved. Son, you need to know this about your dad. The Saturday after the Sunday I got saved, I was invited. It was already planned to go to a party. And I was a party animal. I mean, I liked it. I was a sinner. That's what sinners do. And so we went to that party. And at that party, there was all the booze you could ever think of. They was mixing the drinks, bringing them to me. And I was uncomfortable around that. They'd pop a top and they'd bring me the can. And I'd say, no, I don't want any. And then I heard for the first time in 29 years, I heard, son, you don't belong here anymore. Son, that's family talk. I didn't know I was a son of God. I just knew I was saved. I didn't know I'd been made a child of God. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I mean, I'm a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't look at me with sad eyes. I ain't got no sad story to tell. I mean, God is my Father. God, I believe I need to say it again. God is my, if you're saved, God is your Father. He's your Father. You've got a Father in heaven that loves you and has claimed you and brought you into the greatest family that there's ever been. I love the family of God. Amen. I remember that crowd I used to hang around. They were your buddies until your money ran out. Amen. When the party was over, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't no good at all. But I love this family of God. They'll pray for you. They'll care about you. They'll gather around you. They'll support you. They're mean. Amen. Well, that went right over some of your head. Oh, we're mean. Say, hey, you know, I've pastored y'all for 26 years. Amen. I heard Brother Dean McNeese say that every preacher's preached on the Valley of Dry Bones because they've pastored a Baptist church. Amen. Why do y'all think? Don't make fun of my head, my hair. Y'all the reason that I ain't got none. I'm missing teeth and hair and all other kind of things because of y'all. Amen. They got into the family of God. I love being a part of God's family. It's wonderful being saved. They got in all of that stuff. But they reap not only just the providence of God and the provisions of God. I want to say this and I'm going to be done. They reaped the praise of God. I'm glad that I've got praise on my lips today. These lips don't deserve to sing praise to God. But I've got a song in my heart. I've got joy down deep in my soul because of what Jesus has done for me. I want these girls to come back up here and get ready to sing that song again. Get the band to come up there with them.